While Washington debates endlessly over the prices of military airplanes, ships, and ground vehicles, but it largely overlooks something on which the Defense Department spends even more, and that's services. In fact, the Pentagon itself does little to predict future spending on its biggest ticket item. That's according to a landmark study by the Government Accountability Office. Joining me with more, Tim DiNapoli, Director of Acquisition and Sourcing Management Issues. And Tim, great to have you back.
Tom, happy to be here.
This is a big ticket item. I guess maybe it's not widely understood that even after spending for ships and planes and submarines and you name it, guns and butter, DOD still spends even more on services.
That is so true. You know, when we looked at what DOD spends on services, and folks have known this for a while, DOD spends more than half of its contract dollars on service, twice as much on its three major service categories than it does on submarines and aircraft carriers and joint strike fighters and everything else in a given year.
And there's a process called the Program Objective Memorandum, or POM. I guess that dates back many, many years, a way of predicting the costs and outcomes of platforms, of hardware programs, and that doesn't exist for services. Is that one of your major findings?
It is. And let me give you some background on where we're coming from on this. And this kind of goes back a long time. So DOD contract management has been on our high-risk list since 1992. And for about 10 years, we have focused a lot of effort on how DOD acquires services. And in our view, this is the long pole in the tent that DOD has to conquer before it gets off the high-risk list. And what we said 10 years ago, one of the key things that DOD lacked at that point in time is an ability to say how much we're spending on services today, how much we're going to spend in the future, and what do we report to Congress. And so we tackled those three issues head on this job. So we wanted to say, well, what did you spend for the last 5 years on services? How much do you know about what you're going to spend on services 5 years from now? And what do you report to Congress? What do you tell Congress about what you're going to be spending? And those three issues kind of compiled together kind of led us to a series of findings and recommendations that we think can be a game changer if DOD implements it properly.
Because one of your sister organizations, the Congressional Budget Office, recently said that they don't really trust the predictions of hardware spending over the next few years, and that could lead DOD to end up spending way beyond its sequestration limits. Sounds like the same possibility exists for services, but they really can't say for sure.
Well, the possibility does exist, but there is a difference, and you kind of alluded to it at the beginning of the conversation, is that in DOD's policy that governs how it's going to project its spending for the future, it only requires folks to budget for 1 year. Just tell me 1 year out what we're going to be spending on services, and the DOD folks do that, and they do a pretty good job at that. But there is no requirement for program offices or bases to say how much are we going to spend in the out years, in the 4 years that are included in the Program Objective Memorandum, which is a real limitation. And so what we did in this review is we went out to the big three commands, Air Force Material Command, Army Material Command, Navy Sea Systems, and looked at a couple of their program offices and asked, what do you guys know about how much you're going to be spending on services in the out years? And then not surprisingly, they had a very good idea about what they're going to be spending on services. And that makes sense to us. I'm a program manager. I have a responsibility to achieve my mission. I'm laying out my funding and my requirements for my hardware assets over the next couple of years. And I need to know what my support contractors are going to be doing. I need to know what my services are going to be so I can meet my mission. And they had that data. Now, not completely. And, you know, you get better data next year than 5 years out is a little bit less certain. But to a reasonable degree, program offices that we visited had that data available to say, I know what we're going to be spending in the next 5 years.
We're speaking with Tim DiNapoli, Director of Acquisition and Sourcing Management Issues at the GAO. So if they have this information and they know it, how come they didn't go the next step in to create these program objective memorandums, POMs, that do identify costs 5 years out?
Well, you know, when the POMs were first, I mean, the requirement to do that was first established, and it was years ago. It was very hardware-centric, and I think services were always an afterthought, and they have been for a long time. And so our recommendation, which we thought was very common sense, was change your guidance and require that data, which already exists, to be included in the POM. And so if you have that data, just capture it, use it, and get some more visibility and insights into what we're going to be spending in the future.
And can the POM, whether for hardware or software or services or whatever, can the POM be used as a tool to help curb future expenses or at least keep them from growing beyond what you expect?
We think they can be if it's implemented properly. Like any other budget document, there are going to be fact of life changes that occur, whether it be budget differences, sequestration, new missions, and there are going to be things that change. But at least by knowing here's what the plan is right now, based on these assumptions, you can make those adjustments probably more reasonably and more proactively than you can if someone says, we need to cut our budget by 10% and go out there and scrub your requirements and figure out what you're going to do. That's not strategic. That's surgical, but not strategic.
Well, could it be that you can always look ahead on hardware and say, all right, well, if we just buy three less of these or six less of that, then we'll bring the budget in line. Maybe services are something that are more intractable, that you can't really change because you can't close a base, so you can't close the services connected with it. Could that be one reason why they figure the POM won't be useful in service predictions?
Well, those are all true. You know, there are differences. You can cut a buy, for example, instead of buying 15 JSFs, you can buy 10. But that doesn't mean your engineering support and the other support services that you may need for that weapon system or for that base go away, because there's kind of a level of effort that one needs to maintain any type of program. But even knowing that, by having the data, you can make those decisions and then make those adjustments based on, here's what we can do, here's what we can't because of these factors.
Is there any evidence that the people in DOD were making those kinds of decisions on the knowledge, even though they didn't do the reporting of it?
Each of the military departments, the Air Force, Navy, and Army, they have some ad hoc things underway that are trying to get a better handle on what they're buying for services. And you know, I have to tell you that DOD is taking improvement of services very seriously. I mean, this has been a major initiative by the department for the past 5 to 6 years. They've established new policies, procedures. It's in better buying power. You know, they have all sorts of new things coming down the road to try to improve services. But the one thing that they're not tackling head on is this budgeting side of things in the way that we think you could with the data.
What was the reaction at DOD when you suggested this? Did they slap their head and say, golly, why didn't we think of that? Or did they say, yeah, we thought of that, but we didn't think it would make much difference?
Well, Tom, I got to tell you, it is the most puzzling response I've seen to a GAO recommendation in a number of years. The team did a great job. We've talked to everybody and their brother up and down the Pentagon. And the recommendation was common sense. You have the data out there, revise your guidance to collect it. And we do know it's not as simple as doing that, right? Everything is, there's always some challenge. There are some technical issues. There are some, each of the services have unique needs and requirements for their own purposes. And we said, we know it's kind of hard to do. So why don't we establish a working group, get all the stakeholders, all the key players in the process together, and figure out what makes sense from both a DOD perspective and from a military department perspective so that you can collect some consistent information. And in both cases, DOD partially concurred with the recommendation, but for the life of me, I don't know what they're partially concurring to. So for example, when we recommended that they revise their guidance, what the response said is that we believe that it is a very dynamic and challenging process for budgeting for services. And that was all they said. And so I'm not sure what they concurred to and what actions they intend to take in the future.
It sounds a little passive-aggressive, actually.
Well, I don't know about passive-aggressive, more than just incredibly puzzling and befuddling. And the second recommendation, which was to establish a working group, they partially concurred to that. But the actions they identified, and they're good, they said that we're going to establish the Services Requirements Review Board, which is a good process that is incorporated into the new policy that just came out last month. That can help, but it's not very strategic in looking across the board. And it's not a working group of all the key stakeholders to try to resolve the differences in the processes that each of the military departments use. So again, it was puzzling.
Sounds like maybe somebody in DOD has got to grab a few lapels, maybe push a few stars into a shoulder and say, come on, get going here.
Well, we're going to be talking to our friends over in the department over the next couple months anyway, and we'll see if we can get a better understanding of what they intend to do and how they intend to do it, or what challenges do they really see in implementing the recommendations. And we'll take those under advisement.
Tim DiNapoli is Director of Acquisition and Sourcing Management Issues at the Government Accountability Office. Thanks so much for joining me.
You're welcome, Tom.
Read the report and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.